The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning, happy Wednesday. 7:30 here on a Wednesday morning. Bob Heck here with you. Thank you for tuning in. It is Morning Drive. We are live this morning, which means you get a weather forecast to depress you here in the early stages of the morning.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers with isolated snow showers. Night is cool. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Scattered rain showers in the morning. Highs in the mid-40s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 30s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
We are at 38 degrees right now in our Federico Drive studios, and I'm not happy about it. I just sort of wish Mother Nature would pick a lane and either keep it. Like, it's like the Berkshire workout, you know, you put your sweater on, you take it off, you put your sweater on, you take it off, you turn up the heat, you turn down the heat, you turn up the heat, you turn down the heat. It's that time of year, and it's really getting annoying. Bob Heck here with you on a Wednesday morning. We're thrilled to have our guest, Mike Daly from It's Pittsfield Tonight. What's up, Mike? How's it going?
Good. How you doing, man?
Doing all right. So, tell us about Mike Daly.
What do you want to know?
well, how did you get into It's Pittsfield Tonight? That's your own deal here. How did that whole thing start?
It's been 10 years, which is crazy. But I was working for Mayor Bianchi as a photographer on his campaign and doing some stuff for him. And just stumbled into the, you know, I've always liked politics. And just it just went from there. It just happened. It wasn't a planned thing. It was, you know, and 10 years ago, nobody was doing like these type of podcast type things.
Well, it was, it was tough to do streaming back then because it really wasn't a huge thing back at the time.
You didn't have Facebook Live. You didn't have any of that.
So how did it get started?
You know, I was doing a lot of production stuff. I'm a former professional musician, or I guess I still am technically, which that means you make a tiny little bit of money.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And, you know, it just grew. It just happened, you know. If you're into gear, as you know, you get, oh, I got this camera. And the next thing I know, well, we'll upgrade to this one. Oh, we need to add another one. And it just started growing and growing. And as people kept coming in to the platform, I just kept going with it. Never would I have thought it would turn even to what it is today. No way.
So it was kind of by accident.
It really was, yes.
So how much time do you put into coming up with stories and coming up with ideas for the show? And like it's gone a variety of different ways.
And it definitely
taken many
has
forms over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean I always take what I'm doing serious. I never take myself serious. Mm-hmm. I laugh at people who do. You know, life is too short to think you're that cool. But I challenged myself with stuff. So when I was downtown, I wanted to see if I could actually pull off like a late night show format. I just wanted to see if I could do it as one person, be the host, have musical guests, do a monologue, do the whole thing. And I did. And then it just got, you know, it was fun. I did it. And then after 10 episodes of that, I decided, eh.
I mean, that's a hard thing to pull off, especially around here.
Yes, because, you know, the big thing is you have to have the guests.
Right.
And I remember one guest I had, I won't say by name, but, you know, so he comes up, sits down, I welcome him out, and I said, so how long have you been doing this? And he goes, what's that? And I said, what you do for a living, the reason we're here talking about you. So it was challenging. No matter how good you could be at doing it, the challenge is having something interesting for people to tune into. Some of the musical guests were phenomenal.
Yeah, we have a lot of talent around here.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just did it to do it. So that was a phase of it. My interest in politics and helping people. Anytime somebody says, hey, I learned something because of you or I got involved in something because of you, that's worth it to me. Community's a big thing.
And it's an interesting story because I'm kind of the same way, which is why, like, I started doing this show because, you know, when I did morning radio, if, you know, sometimes the guest isn't all that, and you're like, all right, let's go to a commercial, let's go to a song here, and here I don't have that luxury, you know, I'm just sort of stuck for an hour,
right?
if you get a dud, you know, and it's kind of interesting to be able to pull through that, and you sort of had that same experience.
Yeah, there was a few that was
it's like,
God help me, I want to get this over with. But, you know, you learn from it, and I've learned a lot from it. You know, I've done so many interviews and so many things now that nervousness is just never there anymore. I'm more concerned with the production value of it. Is the audio dialed in? And, you know, when people watch my stuff, they think there's camera operators and all that. There's not.
Right.
So when you're in front of the camera, you don't know if something happened. Did camera A shut down? Did camera B shut down? Is the audio still going? And sometimes I don't know until I'm rendering it in. And I've had major mess-ups like that. I did a series of interviews for last year's election at Park Square. And I'm not kidding. Like, 700 starlings flew into the tree over our head and, I mean, destroyed every interview. I didn't know because of where I had the mic settings at. So I get home, I render in the footage, and you just hear tweet, 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 tweet. So I had to call every candidate and say, I hate to tell you this. You know, thank you for your time, and I appreciate you coming up and sitting with me and all that, but we got to redo the whole thing. And everybody was pretty cool about it. But that's the challenge when you don't have production people. When you, as you know, you do this.
Yeah.
So it can, those things are challenging to overcome. That's the stuff I get nervous about. Talking to people, that seems to be pretty easy now.
So you've gotten to the point where, you know, you seem to have a good relationship with the mayor and all the other city councilors for the most part and candidates. You know, how did that come to be?
Because I didn't always.
Right.
You know, I went into this, you know, you got to, when I tell everybody, if you want to get into the public thing, you got to figure out how to put the emotions aside. Because, you know, I made that mistake. I'm not telling them that because I'm a know-it-all. I made that mistake. And you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you're beating your head against the wall. So in the beginning, I didn't necessarily have a great relationship with hardly anybody, and I'd get all emotional and go after them. You're ruining the world, you know. And that's not how it is. And you have to kind of put your value and your thoughts into the issue, but don't make it personal. And that was just through time, you know. Peter Marchetti, Mayor Marchetti, and myself, I've interviewed him. I don't know how many times now over the years, and rarely, I don't want to say rarely, but I'd say 90% of the time I do not agree with him politically, but he's a nice guy and he's accessible. And his rule is always, as long as you're respectful, we can disagree. Don't make it personal and be respectful. And if you treat him that way, he treats you that way, and you'll have his time. And that took a while for me to get that way with everybody. There's still some counselors that I want to,
yeah.
You know, but because you can see sometimes they make it personal, and it's not. It's, you know, when you're dealing with the public and you're dealing with public issues, there's going to be varying opinions, and it is what it is, and you can't take it personal.
So you feel like, and I've sort of noticed in your content, you've sort of, not for lack of a better term, mellowed out in the past
absolutely
5 years or so, and now you're on a respectful level with a lot of people that you get to interview.
Yes. Yeah, I would say, yeah, I learned from it. You know, there were some that I butted heads with, and, you know, I used to read all the comments, which I still read the comments, but, I mean,
Worst decision ever.
Yeah, some of the stuff, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be a good video. And then the first message I get is, do something with your hair. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's what you got out of this? And I used to get upset about things like that. There was challenges to it when people would attack me. And I always thought I had thick skin. You know, I've been in the public as a musician my whole adult life. But this is different. And local is even more different because these are people you're going to run into at the store and you're going to see out in public. Mm-hmm. And so you got to watch that. You got to walk that line. And I think I just through time of doing it, learned that's how you got to approach it that way. You got to put the personal feelings aside and focus on the issues.
We're here with Mike Daly from It's Pittsfield Tonight, our guest here on a Wednesday morning. And we'll get into some issues in a little bit, but what do you think of social media in general? Obviously, social media has given you a platform to be able to do your show and be able to get your message out there. But some people are just...
I love it.
Really?
I do. You know, because it's the platform is not creating the thoughts people have. I do think with youth, that needs to be looked at. Because being young, I mean... That's tough as it is.
Yes.
And kids can be brutal on each other. So I think social media can be kind of negative from that aspect, depending on, you know, who's behind the keyboard. But overall, I think it's a great thing. And it allows people, if somebody puts content out there you don't like, block them. It's pretty simple. You don't have to listen to it.
Right. I mean, you would think. I mean, the scary part for social media for me is it's given... somebody who read one article about one thing, the same utility, so to speak, as someone who has studied an issue for years and years and years. I mean, we talk about the homeless issue. I mean, ever since the dawn of time, there's been a homeless issue. And to think that it's going to be solved by the Pittsfield City Council, I think, is ludicrous because nobody's been able to solve it.
But those people would be writing letters to the editor if social media wasn't there.
That's true.
They'd always find a platform. It's just you hear them faster, and you know everyone's a digital creator now. Everyone's, you know, everyone wants to be a social media influencer or celebrity or whatever. I don't know. There's that aspect of it.
Does that aggravate you though? That like. You put a ton of time, you make sure the audio's right, you make sure the video's right, you do all these things to make sure your videos are good, and then someone with a cell phone running down the street is, like, gaining views and things like that.
But I look at some of the first ones I did, right, when I was learning keyframing, which is green screening, and I pointed to something in the video and my arm just disappeared, you know, or I used to wear hats all the time in my videos. Because the challenge was the reflection of the lights on my hair.
Oh, yeah.
And my head was becoming translucent. And so I was like, how am I going to solve that? Those challenges. But to do it right, it takes money. You know, you do have to have the right equipment. And then you have to just you. If people like you, don't question it. Don't think you're something special. Mm-hmm. If they enjoy listening to you, run with it. If your intentions are to do good and add value... Run with it. But it is what it is. There's no predicting how the public is going to interpret you.
And being in that social space and, you know, you said you've developed thick skin over time. I mean, I've noticed that, you know, I pulled papers to run for office for about 15 minutes and really got into it. I'm like, nope, I'm good with that. I mean, you love politics, but it can be a little brutal sometimes around here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's horrible. If I could even go back in time with some of the approaches I've had, because, again, you the longer you're in it, the more you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people are like, believe that some of our elected officials are out to destroy the world, that's not the case. You might not agree with their decisions
right. And
all that, but nobody signed up to it to do damage. They believe in what they believe. And if you're doing exceptional, your approval rating outstanding would be 60 to 70%.
Right.
That means 30 to 40% of the people still can't stand you. So I do see where politicians, it's tough, and you're seeing less and less people want to run.
Absolutely. You know? I wanted nothing to do with it after I, because I genuinely went in, I'm like, I can, you know, I can help. I have ideas and things like that. And then after about 20 minutes of that, I'm like, I'm good. I'll just, because it's like I have kids and a family, and it's just like I don't want them exposed. I don't want them getting crap on my behalf.
I can,
you know,
see
what I
mean? That totally. Yes. I mean, I've worked on a couple campaigns where I watched just horrible stuff. It was horrible stuff going after family members, you know, kids running out of the room crying because their parent who was running for office, it was just, they're hearing it in school, and it's brutal. And I think that's always been there. Social media has definitely contributed
Absolutely.
To that. But all media, you know, we can say social media, but look at all these news networks. They all have to have an opinion and a view from a different perspective to see who can be more extreme than the other, or who's, you know, they're going for ratings and viewers.
You're going for clicks nowadays, yeah.
Yeah, so you can have something happen nationally and flick through the channels, and everyone's got a different take on it, and they're trying to find, they're trying to gear their opinion towards people who think the same way they do. They want that audience happy. So you don't know if you're listening to the truth with that either, you know?
Yeah, and I've gotten to the point, and I don't know if you say you love politics. Is that, I mean, if it's strictly on a local level, as far as the national level goes, I just, like, I completely tune it out because I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. I mean, I don't even know who's closed the Strait of Hormuz. Like, who's closed it? Is it us? Or is it Iran? Why is it? Is it open? Is it closed? That's why I've gotten, like,
and we only know what we're told,
right? I've gotten myself just like sports. That's my release. And I would assume, like, do you still follow it at a national level?
I do, but I keep my opinion to myself most of the time.
I do the same.
And if it was who closed the Strait of East Street or something like that,
yeah, that's...
I can go there. I can see it. I can actually gain information. But, you know, I have friends that, as I'm sure you do too, everyone's so involved with it, the national stuff. And they're acting like they have a direct connect to national intelligence and what's happening, and you only know what you're hearing, and I don't know if that's true or not. So, you know, why argue with people over it?
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, like, I went to college late. I went to BCC, went to UMass, was starting to get a master's in public policy. I took a 13-week course on refugees and immigration, and all I learned during that 13 weeks, like, we read books, we wrote through it. All I learned is I don't know a damn thing about refugees and immigration. It's like that. Once I learned all about it, I'm like, well, there's people who have been doing it a lot longer than I have, and I'm never, like, I'm just going to shut my mouth about it because I don't know a damn thing.
Right.
And, you know, I think people don't know what they know, but they think they know, and that's the most frustrating part of the whole thing.
That's scary when someone, you can tell some, when you know somebody's wrong on something, but you can also tell that they believe what they're saying, mm-hmm. there's no talking to them. It just turns into an argument, and
that you're never going to win.
Right. You know, when people say, well, you talk about local politics, and I say, yeah, but so I can put my view out on something, and then I can have the mayor on or a city councilor on or the DA on, and we'll talk about it with them. I can't call up U.S. senators and the president of the United States and be like, you know, I've got to talk to you about the Straits of Hormuz this week. Can you come on?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
they're like, who? Who are you?
Yeah, right. So why just be another talking head that's just somebody else, just blah, 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 and it's dividing people horribly.
Yeah, it's out of control.
Yep.
I mean, I guess it's always been there. You watch documentaries on the 60s and stuff, and I guess it's always been there, but it's not as dramatic as it is nowadays with the social media.
And it switches.
Yeah.
From week to week, I'm like, what are we supporting now? Or not supporting? Or everyone's attention span is so short. I wish people would put half that energy into local. You know, we're watching our voting numbers going down and down and down and down. This last election in Pittsfield, barely 15%. You know, I think it was 15 to 17% turned out to vote in that. And how sad is that?
And, you know, there's important stuff on the table that these people are going to have to discuss. I mean, we get about 10 minutes before the break. Let's talk about Morningside School. I mean, What were your thoughts on that?
Probably not all that popular, but I do understand why it was closed.
Mm-hmm.
Our enrollment is in a continual decline. That was an underperforming school, that open floor concept. There was data that showed it didn't work. And I understand people get emotional, but you got to do what's best for the kids. And if the city doesn't have the money, and that's not going to be I think there's going to be more schools on the chopping block.
I agree 100%.
So, you know, it's had to be done. I trust that it was done for the right reasons. And if the data showed what it showed, which it did, then I believe that these people know what they're doing.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up, like the class size, when I was in elementary school out in Eastern Mass, there was like 25, 26 kids in my class, and that was completely normal. And I was doing some work on the Allendale PTO, and I had to make flyers for Lego Club or something, and how many people are in this class? It was like 13. Like, that seems like really small for a class. And you're right, population's declining. What are your thoughts on the middle school restructuring?
You know, I don't know a ton mm-hmm. about it, but I know that all these changes are coming and have to happen. And I know in the next few years, we're going to drop below that 4,000 mark for enrollment. We're not that far off from that. And, you know, this happened when I was a kid. You know, they closed a ton of schools, and they closed Pomeroy. They closed, you know, they closed the junior highs and turned them into middle schools. They had to restructure everything. And there were people saying, how can you do this? You're destroying our lives.
We all lived, though.
Yes, we made it. And you have to trust that these people are looking at what is going to be best to keep the system running and making sure that these kids get an education. And we see problems in our schools here. And that's, you know, that scandal at PHS did not help things.
No.
And now, like, the PHS report is like our own version of the Epstein files, you know?
Do you think they should release the report?
Personally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because why did we do it? And by saying we can't release it in lawsuits or this or that, but at the same time, it's like, what's in there? You can't redact personal information out of that, and so you're just fueling more and more rumors, you know, by not releasing it.
And that's the thing. We had Sierra Battori on a couple of weeks ago, and she said she read the report, and she seems to think it's way worse than anyone thinks, which just gets the rumor mill going even more.
And that's scary.
Yeah, no, it is.
I heard her say that. I was listening, and I said, And I like Sierra a lot. I believe she's one of those people who you might not agree with her, but she did this for the right reason. She ran for school committee not to be cool and popular or whatever. And I'm not saying everyone runs for these offices for that, but some of them think they're walking the red carpet and winning awards for some reason. She did it for the right reason.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy on some level seeing, you know, a few weeks ago at the school committee when her and Mayor Marchetti went at it?
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, from an entertainment value standpoint, it's just like, yeah, that's...
Yes, because it was true passion and emotion on both sides.
Well, that's exactly it.
That's what you want. You want to know. I mean, that to me, that just shows that they care. That they're not just brushing this off. And I think people speaking up and standing up is one of the hardest things you can do publicly. You're going to get a lot of crap. You just are. People are going to be tough on you. You can't worry about that. And that's why I applaud Sierra for what she's doing. I know she's somebody who loves the community. She's a concerned mother, and she really cares about what happens in the school. And she does her homework, you know, and you got to applaud that. And I also believe the mayor wants to succeed, and he wants to see things done right. You know, because people are always screaming audit and this and that, and...
See, that's a beauty of a moment like that, because we've seen people on city council in the past that have grandstanded just to grandstand, and that wasn't that. Those were two passionate people trying to get their opinion out there, and, I mean, that was good from that perspective.
I agree, and I do think there's some people who run for office for the wrong reasons. They think it's a social status or something like that. You know, like, you're a public servant. You're there just like a union steward. You're there to speak, be the voice for your constituents, not to say, I'm here to make the tough decisions. No, you are not. You're there to do what the majority of your constituents put you there for. You're not there for your own agenda. You're not there to be a social activist. You're not there for any of that. And politics has taken a weird turn with that, where we've seen that locally.
Yeah, no, that's not the way it should be, I don't think.
No, keep your personal opinion to yourself and go vote as a voter, but make sure that you're representing the majority that put you there.
We're at 7:55 right now. Bob Heck here on a Wednesday morning on Morning Drive. We're here with Mike Daly. We're going to take a short time out, and we'll talk about a variety of issues coming up on the other side of the break here on WTBR Morning Drive. Thanks for listening.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back here on Morning Drive on a Wednesday morning. Another look at the forecast, and then more with Mike Daly coming up.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers with isolated snow showers. Night is cool. Near steady temperature in the mid-30s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Scattered rain showers in the morning. Highs in the mid-40s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper 30s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
So tired of it. 38 degrees here at our Federico Drive studios, and we are back here on Morning Drive. Mike Daly, our guest this morning, and Mike, we've talked about a lot of things here. Recently, you've been doing some videos about a potential Pittsfield Chamber of Commerce. Get into that. Not a potential one, but...
Well, I was shocked to find out, you know, and I do read the comments. So I covered the fact that we don't have a Pittsfield Chamber of Commerce. And I get that we have one Berkshire, mm-hmm. that we have Downtown Pittsfield Inc. I just don't think we focus enough for all our local businesses. Downtown Pittsfield Inc.'s a great thing, but it focuses on the North Street corridor. And one of the things I hear from business owners all the time is, you know, nobody ever talks to us. Nobody ever does anything for us. Nobody's ever reached out to me. And I mean, I hear that all the time. And that's how I got into doing promos for businesses. I said, well, I will then. You know, let's... And talking about not having that chamber, it's not necessarily, I'm not saying it in a negative way, but then get a bunch of business owners together and create a group on your own and start working together and go from there. You know, why wait for government?
Right. It's not really it kind of is a government thing a little bit, I suppose.
It's membership driven and I think grants and stuff from the state and city. And but remember the information booth that used to be near the court and Patrick's and all that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that. I've seen what Chamber of Commerce do in other areas, and every single business owner, as soon as you open your business, is approached. And how can we help you? We want to see you succeed. Can we network you with other people? Can we give you some advice? Can we do all these things for you? And that doesn't happen here. It might happen for a few or some, depending on who you know, but it's not happening. And I think it should. So, again, why wait for the city? Why wait for someone to do it? Just do it. If there's a need for it and people will get involved, which is a tough thing around here, getting people involved.
Right. And, I mean, from a personal level, I was working up in North Adams at WNAW when the North Adams Chamber of Commerce formed. I don't even know if it's still a thing anymore, but, I mean, man, that was really hard to get going.
I'm sure, you know... People start something thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then everyone's like, yeah. They start complaining immediately. And then you find yourself getting frustrated. And so I said to myself already, if there's enough businesses that approach me that said I'd be involved in it, great. We'll run with it. If not, you know, I'll just do what I'm doing already.
It is what it is,
yeah.
Right?
I'm not going to stress on it. I have a bunch of business promos coming up for the season. And I don't charge anybody. I just do a couple fundraisers here and there to help fund for stuff when I need to get things, and I leave it at that. It'd be nice to make some money, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there anything else you do?
I do a lot of sessions work as a drummer.
Okay.
So,
yeah, talk to me about that. That's like for people locally or for people nationally?
Internationally, really.
Oh, internationally. Okay.
It sounds a lot cooler than it is.
No,
there's
I'm
not,
sure.
There's not a ton of money in that anymore. And luckily, live playing is making a comeback. I've seen that there's a local band. I think they're all teenagers still. Split Senses, I think their name is. They remind me of like a young Nirvana. It's really cool seeing that everything's coming full circle. If you get to be old, you'll watch everything come back in style three times. And during the pandemic, I have a lot of connections in corporate at Guitar Center still. And they were telling me they were record-breaking years for them selling gear.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I kept saying, well, where's all this gear going? You know? And now with a lot of hip-hop and rap, that's for kids. That's old people's music. You know, it's been around a long time. So it's coming full circle. And you're seeing this resurge in rock and metal. And so for me, I can still make a few bucks doing drum tracks for people. Every now and then guitar tracks too, but drums is my main instrument.
Where is rock resurging? Because I don't see it anywhere anymore.
Yeah, you can see the show. Hardcore music is mm-hmm. huge now compared to where it was, and it's still growing. Bands like Nirvana and stuff like that, Soundgarden, they're all selling. Their sales are up again, those old albums.
Oh, yeah.
it's making a the kids have rediscovered, but kind of like my generation did with the Stones and Zeppelin and all that. I mean, they were gone by the time I started listening to them, but you know, when we discovered it, Zeppelin was still one of my favorite bands in the world, but they had this resurge. I don't know if they ever totally left, but you know, they're still selling every Zeppelin album every year, still goes platinum.
Interesting. It is like interesting because, like, when you're growing up, you're like, Ma, Dad, your music sucks. I'm listening to this stuff, and you're still into that stuff. Like, I still listen to 90s alternative pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
But as you get into high school and you discover, like, I discovered the Beatles, I discovered the Eagles, and I was like, the Doobie Brothers. And I'm like, wow, this is all pretty cool.
Yes. And I think, like, a lot of people that know me personally, I'm connected heavily to a band called Megadeth. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And their last album hit the Billboard 200 at number four.
Really?
Highest ranking out of every album they've ever had out in their history. So you can see it happening. Europe and Asia never let go. South America never let go of metal. Even 10, 15 years ago, they were playing to 1,000-seat places here. And then hit South America, and you're playing a 25,000 seat venues, you know. So, but it's making a huge comeback. There's no doubt.
And it's interesting because I start thinking about, and we've had this discussion here in the office, like those mid-sized venues, like your SPACs, your let's just say SPAC, because everyone knows what that is.
Tanglewood.
Yeah,
you could put that in there too.
Like, I mean, Tanglewood still has their orchestra stuff, but you get a venue like SPAC, they're bringing in the Doobie Brothers, they're bringing in, they're not really bringing in anyone new, so to speak. And it's like, once these acts sort of die out and retire, is there going to be a place for a mid-sized venue like a SPAC? Because obviously, Foxborough, TD Garden,
right?
You know,
but you can
the
see
arenas,
what's happening. These bands are becoming a brand now. So my friend Nick Campbell is the drum tech for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and there's no original members in that. But that brand, the brands are going on, and I think you're starting to see that with, like, Kiss has talked about now building an AI version of themselves to continue, and or passing the torch to other people who will dress as those characters. And so I think that's the next step. You're going to see the brand continue with different players.
Bands licensing their music to, like, other people to...
Yes.
That's crazy.
I mean, the Skynyrd thing is weird, because some people say, well, Ricky Medlock, yes, he did play. He played in 77 on two songs as a drummer. You know, he's the guitarist. Other than that. But there's nobody, not one original member in that band, and they're selling out their tours still. So... I mean, they did Tanglewood, I think, a year or two ago.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's the next avenue of it, is licensing the image, the name, and it just continues as its own brand, its own product now.
What else are you working on locally? Like, what are some of the big things you see on the horizon here in Pittsfield that needs to be discussed?
Business promos, you know, because... I don't like doing just little commercials for people. We do as long as it needs to be. If it needs to be a 20-minute video featuring your business and what you do. You know, I'm coming into the season now where I do a lot of the restaurants and stuff, so I've got some cool stuff coming up with that. But yeah, just, I don't know, sailing straight ahead. You know, business promos, talking about stuff in the city, wishing I could get more people to the polls.
Yeah, I mean, we got another... It'll be better next time because the mayor will be on the ballot. So we'll see a slight uptick at the very least.
But even that last one, 30%?
Right.
Was one of our lowest turnouts for an election with the mayor on the ticket. And that was shocking. But again, you could see how even the local media got involved in that. And all of a sudden, we were talking about rumors about things that supposedly happened 10 years before. And it got... The identity politics and the rumors and the nastiness, that's got to go away.
Yeah, I can't imagine why anyone would want to run at that level, because it just gets so nasty at that at the top of the chain there.
The worst we saw here was the DA race between Paul Cacaviello and Andrea Harrington. That was the worst we ever saw, and I was one of Paul's campaign managers for the write-in. I've never seen anything so vicious before in my life. It was horrendously horrible, and I can see a lot of people seeing that and going, ain't no way I would ever do that to myself, my family. Who would, I mean, you're lucky if you survive that without having a heart attack from all the stress. And that's sad because, you know, after this last election in Pittsfield, I did a video saying, I foresee in the near future, not only will you see uncontested seats like we're seeing, you're going to see nobody running. There's going to be no candidates for them. But we're seeing that in some of the hill towns right now. Because even that's gotten nasty.
Right.
So that's an issue. People need to get involved, and they need to not be so viciously brutal. Stick to the issues, but don't make it personal and try to destroy someone's character who has to live in this community, or else you're not going to have good people running for office. It's not going to happen.
I know you once thought that Pittsfield should utilize a city manager
I still think approach. That would be the way to go. You know, I don't know if the voters do, but city manager is a great way because it's based off of results. You know, and again, identity politics have taken over everything. It's all about how cool you are, what you do, and it should be about qualifications. It's a business, you know, and that's, you don't hire people like someone come into your business and say, I'm going to hire you to run. Why? Because I really like your hair, dude. You know, I mean,
it's crazy, right?
You know,
like what a vote will teeter upon.
It should be about qualifications. And but again, a lot of qualified people are like, no way. Not for that money and that stress, no way. So it's a catch-22 with that. It really is. I hope it gets better, and meaning just people get involved, get out and vote, volunteer. Ask yourself, how much time do you give to the city every year? And I'm not saying paying your taxes and all that. We all pay taxes. But how much time do you give? Do you set aside even just 10 hours a year that you give back to the community? And you have to be honest with yourself, you know, are you, because you only get out of something what you put into it.
Right.
So if you're not putting anything into it other than going on Facebook and saying, this sucks, you know, well, that's what you're going to get out of it.
Speaking of things that people say suck on Facebook, what are your thoughts on roundabouts?
Again.
And just like the city in general as far as construction and that whole deal.
Some of it, I'm like, wow. Like, that bump out's kind of crazy. But overall, roundabouts started taking hold in this country in 2000. The European model showed it works. It's more cost efficient. You're not running traffic lights. You know, if the power goes out, the roundabout doesn't shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proven. I think the biggest issue with what people are seeing isn't the roundabouts and the bump outs per se. It's people going, look what has happened. All these businesses that are gone, my taxes are going up, and they get mad. They feel like they're not being heard, and they're like, so we're putting all our attention into a roundabout? And that's where it becomes
the issue. Yeah, no, it's...
They feel unheard, and they're going to channel that into that. They feel like, well, why are you focusing on a roundabout when the street's empty and we lost 5 more businesses this year? And I think that's more of what it is. It's just that reaction of swinging back because you feel unheard.
All right, but that's also frustrating, too, because, you know, the money that the city does get, you know, like North Street. We've had a million conversations about North Street, whether you like the bike lanes or not. The city was given money to put in bike lanes.
Yep.
They couldn't use it to feed the homeless. They couldn't use it to fix East Street. They had to use it for that. And people just don't realize how some of that works at that level.
Right. If it's earmarked for this, you take that grant, you have to spend it on that. And there's usually a timeline that it has to be done within. And that's that. You know, but you also don't just take any grant that comes your way because we'll do it. It's money. You know, if it's not the right fit, there's that too. And I've always thought North Street is such a small strip. You know, we act like we're in downtown Manhattan. It's a little street,
right?
You know, and is that the best place for that? I mean, if we're looking to connect the Ashuwiltokook Trail and the rail trail, all that, why don't we look at First Street? Why don't we look at Center and Seymour and have North Street be a destination spot? Maybe have some bike racks there where people can lock their bike up. But, you know, because I remember the craze during the pandemic of micro-mobility. And these
yes.
Bird e-scooters, you know, I went to the press conference, and I remember the mayor tired, eyeing me down. She wanted to chop my head off because I was so against these. And it wasn't the city of Pittsfield. It was, I follow the market. And Bird e-scooters was the first unicorn company. And unicorn status is when you raise over $1 billion in capital before you even go public.
Mm-hmm.
And that had never happened before. The guy came from Uber. This was an idea. And everyone knew it wasn't going to work. It was a gimmicky thing. Everyone, the whole world wasn't going to revert back to scooters. You know, the future isn't bicycles either. I mean, yes, people use them. E-bikes have changed that. But if the future was bicycles, you know, we'd be seeing Star Trek episodes of them pedaling through space. technology is going to advance. You know what I mean? But I think the popularity with the e-bikes is the automobile is becoming unobtainable
right.
for a lot of people now, leave alone a house. You know, the average cost of a house, now we're doing that with cars, where the average new car is $50,000.
Insane.
So for a person, the e-bike did make a difference. But, you know, with North Street itself, I see that as a destination spot. I don't, you know, it's there's so little real estate up there, including an old street like that where you don't have all these loading docks in the back. You really want to give that up, where we know there's going to be so many people double parked, parked in the bike lanes, all that to start with because they have to deliver to people. I don't think it's the right spot for it. I really don't. Regardless of a grant paying for it, I think it did damage.
Do you have any thoughts on Wacona Park?
Not a ton. I would have liked to seen a whole new facility somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's just me. And a lot of people said, no, the history. And I said, yeah, but when it was put there, it was kind of like a fluke type thing. You know, I went to a lot of games as a kid, and I remember them having to take the break for when the sun was going down, and it's on a floodplain, and there's so many things. And I would have loved to seen a nice, big, new, modern facility somewhere that could host concerts and graduations and, you know, all that stuff. I always thought it was crazy that even now, you know, you see Pittsfield Public School graduations at Tanglewood in
right.
another town. You know, why didn't we look at maybe Site 9 or why didn't we look at some other locations? But a lot of people get hung up on history. And I can see if some, like, famous architect designed something or whatever, you know, but that's not what we were looking at. And history is cool. I'm a history person, but I didn't see the historical value in leaving that there.
Yeah, no, and for me, like, I grew up in the Boston area, and I was there in the 80s and 90s, and when the Boston Garden shut down, and everyone was like, oh, you can't shut down the Boston Garden. I'm like, that place was a dump. There was no air conditioning. Like, there's poles everywhere. The place sucked. It was a terrible place to watch a game if you were up in the second level. And the TD Garden's beautiful. But it was, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? They tore down the Boston Garden, and everyone lived.
And the new one is great.
Yes. Everyone's fine. You know, I mean, I'm a history guy, too, but I don't need to sit in a 150-year-old's. I mean, honestly, even Fenway Park annoys the crap out of me because it's just not big enough and it's just out of style. And yeah, it's cool to go as a one-off, but it's like rough when you have like a season ticket package and you got to go there all the time. And I go to some of these modern parks and they're beautiful. And then it's like I get to Fenway and it smells like hot dogs and stale pee, you know? It's like, why does anyone want that?
The history only goes so far.
Right.
You know, I can understand. You're like, yeah, but the materials it's made out of can never be replaced, you know? That's a different, but that's not what we're talking about. But it is what it is. I mean, we'll see what happens with Wekona Park. I'd love to see baseball come back to the level it was when I was a kid, going to see the Cubbies and the Mets and seeing players that you knew were on their way up to the majors. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see it as a multi-use facility, and what I would have wanted just didn't happen, so... You know.
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned it was going to be not going all in, and it looks like they're not even going to have locker rooms. It's like, it's irritating to me, you know? I don't like it.
Yeah, because as soon as the argument with the history thing is over, people will move on to something else, and then we'll be sitting there, the people that really care, going, man, that would have been cool if we could have had this, this, or this, or this, but... You know, we'll move on to something else. If it's if it's trending with people complaining about it, people just jump in on that.
Do people message you about stuff going on around the city? Like,
constantly.
You have some way of fixing it?
Every day. And I've had people yell at me saying, do your job and get this fixed. And I'm like, what am I supposed
Isn't
to do?
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Isn't that wild? We did a baseball game at Clapp Park a couple of weeks ago. The game wasn't even supposed to be there. It was supposed to be at Taconic. It was Taconic against Pittsfield. They didn't, the city hadn't put the fence up yet all the way because the game wasn't supposed to be there. This guy came rotting, like, walking across the field, screaming at us, when are you going to put the fence up? What are you doing? When is the fence going? I'm like, this is a Wendy, sir. Like, we're just the TV crew broadcasting. I know you work for the city. No, we don't work for the city. I don't know how to put a fence up. Otherwise, I'd do it myself.
I had a guy at the Shell station on West Hoosie standing behind me. And then I just had that feeling like somebody's staring through my head kind of thing. So I turn around and I smile and he goes, I know who you are. And I said, oh, okay. And
good
goes,
for you.
He goes, you think you're cool, don't you? You just think you're something else.
Really?
And I'm like, I do think I'm pretty cool, yeah. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, wow, dude, you can block me. You don't have to agree with me. It was just really, and I get a lot of that. Most of it I just laugh off. I used to let it used to get to me. It was hard not to. The personal attacks, you know. I'd be looking at myself in the mirror going, am I really that goofy looking? Now I don't care. I just, you know, I've heard enough of it. But I probably get, you know, 100, 150 messages a day.
Really? That much?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Of people, like, suggesting you talk about something or suggesting you yourself go fill the pothole?
I've gotten those. Or why were you so easy on the mayor? Or why were you so easy in this interview? How come you didn't ask this? And then some people that want me to fix their problems. Sometimes it's a landlord that they feel is not doing them right.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the manager of the mall contact me recently about some stuff that'll be happening there.
The manager of the Berkshire Mall?
Yeah, yeah. About some stuff that they want me to cover. That'll be cool. I was, you know, but it's, some of it's cool stuff like that. I'm like, wow, you thought of me. A housing project that is getting ready to open soon, and I was invited to the grand opening of that. And every now and then the governor's office will reach out to me with something. So that part of it's cool, but I do get a lot of people that think, you know, I had a candidate message me and say, you didn't return my calls, and I don't, and screaming at me one day. I mean, just he got my phone number and he's screaming at me, do your job. I'm tired of hearing excuses about you're busy. And I'm like, dude, I had to go to work. What you... So, yeah, there's that. I'm sure you hear stuff, too. So,
yeah. I mean, we obviously talk about the negative aspect of what you do. What's the coolest part of, like, what's the part where you're like, that's cool that we got to do that?
I feel like in some weird way I have a little bit of influence, and that blows me away because I just did this. You know, I didn't pretend I was some news guy and, you know, or any of that. I had an opinion, I had a voice, and it just grew to what it did. So that part, every day someone will come up to me, whether I'm in the grocery store or something, and sometimes they'll ask if they can get a picture with me, and it's...
Oh, really?
It's beyond flattering.
That's crazy,
it's
right?
It's a little embarrassing because I'm like, look, I promise you I'm not that cool. But it's flattering, especially if they say, oh, I got involved in this because of you, or, you know, something like that. That's what I like hearing. I like hearing that something positive came out of it. It seems worth it to me for that. And I think that's the coolest part of it. The attention is, it's weird, you know, because I'm used to people coming up saying, that was a great show, or, you know, what kind of drum heads are you using, or something weird like that that's related to music. But just, I really like the way you complained about that the other day.
You know? But it's cool that you, like, highlight, you know, really cool things going on in the community. Beat the Streets. We had Dasheed on a few weeks ago. I think that's a wonderful program, and I'm excited to get... I'm going to get down there and check out some games this year.
I love for him that this is... Because when people are praised for their hard work, they'll work harder, you know? And that's why I think we need more of that. That a community, you know, a lot of people will complain. Get involved. Get out there and do something and be positive. Put a smile on your face and move forward, and it will grow. And that's how you build things and make things better. Don't just complain. You can complain, but then be proactive and get involved.
Right. Like, the things that always frustrate me are, you know, the Chili's closed down and, like, oh, they should put an Olive Garden in there. They should put a Chuck E. Cheese. That's the question. Who is that? You can be they. Get some investors together. Right. Buy it. Make it a Chuck E. Cheese. I don't care.
Yeah, I've had people telling me the only reason we don't have a Trader Joe's is because another local, I won't mention a local store, has been lobbying to keep them out. And I'm like, dude, Trader Joe's is an $18 billion company. I don't think a local store is stopping them. If they wanted to come here, we'd take their money. It's, you know, it is what it is with that. I don't think people understand. It's a small community.
Yes.
Mass is a really tough state to do business in. We're one of the most expensive in the country. Mm. Utilities, labor costs, insurance, and we're an old community. I keep pushing that, but it's freaking me out that the median age is closing in on 50. And that tells you all you need to know about what's coming with the public schools. I tell people, look at the kids in first grade right now and compare that to the number in seventh grade, and then push that number up in a few years when you can see the decline coming. So there's that whole aspect, and that's why we don't see a lot of these businesses coming and setting up shop here. They won't make it. They're not going to make it here, so they're not going to invest here. You have to support what we have and figure out, you know, how to grow it. I think we have to do it organically from the small businesses up. And that takes the business owners networking together. That's a struggle here. We're strange people. We're a bunch of thick-headed know-it-alls, including myself.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Interesting conversation. I'm glad we were finally able to make this happen. Yeah. We had a great chat. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, I'll have you on at Spitzfield tonight.
Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it. 8:28 this morning, and Mike Daly, our guest, thank you so much for joining us. And Sean is back tomorrow with another edition of Morning Drive, and I'll be back with you next week. Have a great day. Get a jacket, whatever jacket you choose this morning. We'll be wrong by this afternoon, I guarantee you that. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.